Hello and welcome to episode 2 of A View from the Bridge, the unofficial Belfast Giants podcast. Here in A View from the Bridge, we try to bring you all the news and views of the current Belfast Giants and the Elite Ice Hockey League. My name's Patrick Smith.
Hi, and I'm Connor Caldwell. Well, welcome to the second edition of A View from the Bridge here. Nice to have you all with us, and we've got a very special guest with us tonight, a good friend of Paddy and myself, Davey McGimsey. Davey, welcome to the show.
Good evening, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Well, it's been an eventful weekend here, both in Belfast and across the Elite League, and the season started in Belfast with a game against the Cardiff Devils and a 5-3 win. The 5-3 win was bookmarked by the fact that Andrew Martin, in his Belfast Giants debut, got a hat-trick, and while doing that, Bobby Robbins also scored 2 goals. It was an eventful game, Davey.
Yeah, four-point night for both guys. Andrew Martin, fantastic speed he showed to score a few of his goals, especially his second, where he beat the Cardiff goalie high. And Bobby Robbins, for his own goal, just near the end of the game, the space he created in the crease was brilliant before he baseball bat styled it into the net to really seal the win.
Yes. First goal was a shorthanded fish.
Indeed, yeah, and we had another one the following night in Edinburgh. The speed that the team has showed over the first 2 games has been quite impressive, you know. But as I appealed last week, let's not just start counting our chickens until we've seen a few more games. So, but it was an impressive start for the team, and most of the fans seemed very happy afterwards. A great crowd for the first game of the season. I think the official crowd had it at just over 5,000, and was posted on the hockey forum, which is great. I think a couple of people perhaps thought the crowd was a little bit flat, but it always is that way, you know, when you have so many people there. And it was still a fun night, and the whole presentation of the game has been completely revamped.
Yeah.
New on-ice hosts, Big Paul, sadly not with us any longer, but two new faces from Cool FM, who I thought were very good. It's been a bit of a subjective debate on the forum in the last week or so. Todd Kelton with a more hands-on role in the match night presentation, giving away pizzas and Subways and all sorts of things, and the welcome return of Chuck-a-Puck as well. So it was an eventful first night, and great for it to see a Giants victory on it as well.
What about the game, David? Do you think the team looked balanced and were comfortable in their win?
Yes, well, clearly Fish didn't see very much of the game. If all you can talk about is the match night presentation, but yes, the team did look quite balanced. It's good for once. Sadly for Mark Morrison, it's not working out so great for him. But we're actually rolling with 3 lines, and
yeah.
I know I've been a great critic over the last number of years, where coaches have continually played 2-line hockey. So
yeah,
it's good to see that we do have a bit of depth. As I say, it's not working out great for Mo at the minute, but I'm sure he's shown over the last lot of years that he'll work hard and try and get himself back and get his ice time that he deserves.
What do you think about Mo playing this role as 10th forward?
Well, you know, I can't really speak for Mark, but I'm sure whenever he signed, he knew what the situation was going to be. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, quite ironically, it's this weekend marks the 5th anniversary exactly from his first game for the Giants.
Yeah.
14th of September 2003.
Good stats.
No problem. And on the 15th of September, he played his first away game. You know, I've got all the stats here. What do you want? 3rd in the all-time list with 289 games, 21 goals, 20 assists, 138 penalties and minutes with 8 fighting majors, and he's only 26 years old.
All right.
The problem with Mo is that, you know, he's played his role very well over the years. He knows exactly what his role in the team is, and that's that of a defensive forward on the 3rd line, eating up ice time, getting the top guys a break.
Yep.
Unfortunately for him this year, we've got Awada, Sample, and probably McMillan running on that 3rd line.
Mm-hmm.
The quality's a bit higher for him. He's just going to have to work that bit harder to get his ice time.
Yeah, definitely.
As we said last week, though, you know, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Mo start to take some of Paul Sample's ice time in the next couple of weeks, because Mo is the sort of player that will knuckle down and work hard, and like you say, we'll start to eat into some other players' ice time. So all the more power to him, you know, for sticking around this season when maybe he knew he wasn't going to get quite as much time on the ice. I was pleased to see Graham Walton get a good number of shifts and get a point as well.
Point on the second goal. He shared an assist with Bobby Robbins there on Andre Martin's second goal. So yes, good to see Graham get nice time as well. And add that up with young Dave Phillips coming in the side. Now, spoke to Paddy at the weekend. Dave Phillips didn't overly impress me, but you know, he's a young guy, and hopefully he'll come on and his season will progress better.
And what about overall, the new guys in this first game, they impressed? Well, I suppose with Martin and Robbins getting on the score sheet, but you've also got Burgoyne and Chevrolet getting points.
Well, as coin Jimmy Squeaker, Mike Burgoyne, look, absolutely fantastic. A great puck handling D-man, and the way he brings it out of defence, it's brilliant to watch him. I'm sure he'll give a few heart attacks over the season. Who's the other guy you mentioned there?
Evan Chevrolet.
No, don't like him.
I was about to say. former Coventry player, Evan Chevrolet.
Yeah, I was talking to Dr. Love on Saturday night, and we did come to an agreement that if he scores, we're allowed to cheer the team, but we're not actually cheering him.
Ah, right, fair enough. And what about Dennisett? The impress, I suppose, with Martin and Dennisett being on the wings?
Well, that whole line of Robinson, Dennisett and Martin looked very lively all night, you know. The,
yeah.
It's good to see a line gel what looks like quickly.
Yeah, yeah. And what about, it wasn't a straightforward game for the Giants. I think the Devils did well. In fact, they were ahead coming to the end of the first period. But that man crept up again, the fellow who seems to run the show every time he appears in Belfast.
Well, yeah, we're talking about the game on Saturday night in general. It was a very stop-start game. You know, Devils took 10 or 12 penalties, and from that point it was very stop-start. But as you say, the Giants went into the break 2-1 down after starting quite brightly, and it was Brad Booth that brought them right back in the game. He absolutely owned the ice for about 20 or 25 minutes on Saturday night.
He is one of those players. Like, I know I sent a text message to a few of you asking if he was if he could be the complete elite league player, but because he has that physicality and he's able to put up the points as well.
Yeah, indeed, Brad Voth, for my money, is as close to the complete elite league player as there's going to be. He like Davey says, he owns the ice. He's still getting better. He put up a career year last year with 11 goals and 11 assists. And this season he's looked every bit the part again. He first, I think, came to a lot of our attentions in that famous playoff game when he hit Stefan Sorjan in the back and absolutely wrecked him. And a lot of people...
Whoa, I have to disagree with you there. He didn't... I think it was a pretty decent hit, to be honest.
Well... As do I, but the point I was going to make is a lot of people before the game made the point and talking about Brad Voth really said that was a moment they lost respect for him or whatever. I thought it was a great hit, and had it not been for the fact that Sorjan, am I pronouncing his name correctly?
I think so, yeah.
His helmet came off because it wasn't fastened correctly, and the blood was everywhere, and people were shocked by the hit, you know. If it wasn't for that, I think people would have a very different opinion of Brad Voth across the league. And for my money, he is as close to the complete player in the league as there is.
I think one of the major problems with Brad Voth is size. At 6'5", 6'6", and you know, in around 16 stone, as Hitchie would say, someone that big takes you from behind, it's going to hurt.
I'd say so.
Absolutely.
And it's not just... I know over the weekend he's taken a bit of a bad rap, especially with Sheffield, and I think a lot of the Sheffield ones still have a bit of bitterness, because not only did you have the event with Sorjan, you had Ashley Tate last season, but you can't help but feel that, well, Dave Matos himself went after Voth, so I can't help but feel that Voth would just stroll into any team in the league.
He's a player I would absolutely love to have in Belfast. He does have his moments, as you say, the playoffs a couple of years back, the Tate incident last year, the incident at the weekend there, and even at the Odyssey there on Saturday night. You know, he seems to have just little momentary lapses where he lets himself go. He only got 2 minutes for it, but he slashed Stevie Lye's stick straight out of his hands. And
yeah.
One of the things we'd have liked to have seen at that stage was one of our players coming and... at least having a word with him, but as I say, at the Odyssey, we just show this guy far too much respect.
Yeah. And who do you think should have stepped up there, McMillan?
Oh, as I said before, I can't read what their names are on their back, so I don't know who should be doing the deal. If someone goes in your goalie, knocks a stick out of his hand, it should be the player closest to him. I don't care who it is on the team.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So 5-2 win and a pretty decent win at that, and set up pretty well for the Challenge Cup game over in Edinburgh. And it didn't start too well.
No, it didn't indeed. I thought the first period we were very, very lackluster. Edinburgh seemed to have the run of us. And for a long time in that first period, I was thinking maybe Edinburgh's victory over Sheffield the night before hadn't been just a fluke or, you know, something out of the ordinary. I thought they had the better of us. We committed a lot of penalties. But, you know, it was a shorthanded goal then that got us out of trouble. And I think we just got stronger through the game. Edinburgh, maybe a little bit tired from having two long trips to make, you know, down to Sheffield and back. Whereas, you know, ourselves, we only just had the one over to Edinburgh, probably about the same length, you know. You know, another sort of comfortable 3-1, 4-1 victory in the end. And it's sort of good to get the Challenge Cup campaign off to a decent start. It's good to be in the competition again after so long being out of it, and good to see that the team's obviously taken it seriously too. So
yeah, traditionally not a competition we do well in, Davey.
Not a competition we do well in, but I have to say it's a competition that I would absolutely love to win. After that Sunday back many years ago where we got absolutely destroyed,
yeah,
it's a competition, and I know we make fun of it every year, and it's the, you know, the sort of joke cup, but it's a cup that I would love to have our name on.
It's the one we're missing, isn't it?
It's one missing out of the cabinet, but yeah. It's got a trophy with so much history, and it's a trophy that the Belfast Giants deserve to win.
Yeah, I think so. But again, Bobby Robbins on the score sheet with another two goals. He's looking like a pretty decent signing, well, to begin with anyway.
Yeah, certainly on Saturday night. I can't really comment on Sunday night because I didn't see the game, but Saturday night, our fourth goal, the space he created in the crease for himself was fantastic, and he looks a good physical player. He looks not too shabby for speed, and he can put the puck on the back of the net.
Triple R, as they're all calling him now, because of his. Originally, I thought that was something to do with some pun on the, I don't know, Triple X, the movie or something like that. But it appears his names are Robert and another one beginning with R, and then Robbins to end off. So not so bad.
Yeah, I believe it's Robert Regan Roberts. Robbins, sorry.
Robert Robbins,
I'm very concerned about what's going on the forum and this loving the Bobby business. Grown man loving the Bobby.
Yeah.
Is worrying.
It's not very healthy, is it?
Well,
I personally think it should be knocked on the head.
I agree, mate. Speaking of Edinburgh Capitals in Scotland, like, what about Colin Shields? Did he impress at the weekend?
Not me.
No?
That's
no, one of the players that really didn't stand out so much. Didn't really notice him that much on the ice, you know. But maybe he'll take a while to get going. Mm-hmm. We'll have to wait and see about him. Mm-hmm. It was certainly the imports, the couple of imports, Robbins and Martin and Dennisett for me that really stood out.
I thought Coach Stevie Thornton had a very quiet game as well.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, I hope that he comes through, considering that Stevie Thornton, he's now back in the GB side, and he's always been a touch of class.
Yeah, he's a touch of class, but as we go back to another subject, Mark Morrison. Mark Morrison's actually scored more points for the Giants than Stevie Thornton, so I know that I'd be giving the ice time to.
One point on the game against the Capitals was the netminder for the Capitals was Pazzi Raitanen, who came off a game in Sheffield where he only conceded one goal.
Blast from the past.
Not half. For a fellow who'd officially retired and only came out because the Caps were down an import netminder. Not a bad show.
It's a way to pay yourself in their contract.
Not half.
Well, absolutely. But as many people were saying, perhaps there was some sort of pie reward on offer. But I can't find any evidence of it. It was certainly suggested on the forum by a few people. That there were pastries involved in the first game.
He also looks like Kenny Blue Giant Bickerstaff, but I hear he's a better netminder.
Well, it wouldn't be hard.
I think both Fish and myself can vouch that Kenny is rubbish.
yeah, but Davey, it is bad. Even I've scored past Kenny, and I'm rubbish. Other events around the league, it was an interesting game in Nottingham on Sunday night, Fish.
It certainly was, on the same night that the two great heroes of fighting were absolutely got the stuffing knocked out of them, Amir Khan and Chuck Liddell. It was a former Giants player, Mark Leavers, who was the subject of some rather untoward behaviour from the whole Stingrays. And from the new boy Kozak in particular. Just want to read what Dave Sims said on the subject, his description. You know, there's a lot of different opinions and supposed descriptions flying around on the net at the minute, but Dave Sims, someone who's as neutral maybe as you're going to get, haven't seen the video replay, said, Matt Myers got a late hit from Riddle, but Endure couldn't get to him for at least a shift. Then a couple of minutes later, room entangles and fights, then off the puck, Kozak finds the closest player to him, Leavers, hits him once, Leavers goes down, Kozak then punches him in the back of the head, Leavers' head hits the ice and there's a lot of blood, and allegedly then on the way to the penalty box, when Kozak was kicked out of the game, he skated through the pool of blood and kicked it in the direction of the Panthers. Not exactly very nice behaviour from the new boy.
You know, the Hull have set themselves up that they're going to be one of these teams that, well, they're just pure big lads, not really scorers, just meatheads, if you want it like that. But not the greatest of incidents for the league, Davey.
Well, no, but this is what we knew was going to happen with Hull from the start of the season, from their recruitment, and so we'll probably talk more about Hull as we're playing them this weekend later in the show. But you know, they've played two games, they've got 111 penalty minutes.
Yeah.
But they've got no points, and that's the crucial one in their column. You know, they can come out and try and gin it up with any team, but if they're not going to score goals, then they're not going to win anything.
Exactly. And what do you think the league should come down like a ton of bricks on Kozak, or?
I would have to see the incident before I said. I don't think the league should particularly come down on for this dancing in the pool of blood or whatever the incident was. If he has smashed Mark Leaver's head in the Italian, then it should be come down for that incident. But I don't think for the pantomime histrionics afterward, there's really too much the league need to do about that.
Of course, Mr. Kozak comes with a bit of a reputation from the CHL. He was up in front of the disciplinary committees there for another attempt to injure incident, and according to one referee from the CHL, said that he had never in his life been talked to by a player like Kozak had done to him during one particular incident. Well, obviously, not really sure what that was about. But
I feel that the number one thing out on the ice there is that the officials must have respect. Although the officials have to earn that respect as well. But if they've got that respect, any player that steps across the line with the referee should just be gone from the game.
Absolutely.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Totally.
This particular incident, I believe there was an alleged striking. According to Kozak, his stick fell into the referee or some such, but many others believe there was a deliberate strike there. So it'll be interesting to see now how the EHL deals with him, because I'm sure he'll be up in front of disciplinary committees this week or next. And
I find it fantastic that the EIHL actually has a disciplinary committee.
Yeah, well, I think I put that on KOTG, that when I read that on the Panthers forum, I didn't get past those three words. Elite League Disciplinary Chiefs. I thought, you've got to be joking me. But actually, talking about the Elite League, descended into a little bit more farce in Manchester on Sunday as well, when, two periods were played between the Minkoffs Vipers and the Manchester Phoenix, when it was discovered after the second period break that half of the ice was unplayable due to sand coming through and thin ice, so they decided to abandon the game and decided by penalty shots.
Yeah, it's just farcical.
it bears the question that why wasn't the ice fit to play, considering that there was months to prepare.
Absolutely, there's no excuse really, and we know it happened a couple of times last season with the new rinks, with the Cardiff Arena in particular, when the ice was declared unfit and there was nearly a riot outside the new Cardiff Arena. But there really is no excuse for this, you know, and you've got travelling supporters and a travelling team comes down and then just to end the game in the lottery that is penalties. It's just really not good enough, and it'll be. I just hope that Manchester get their problems sorted out with the ice, you know, for this weekend.
It is just a completely farcical situation, but I just don't really know what else they can do. You know, the fans are there, the teams are there. It costs so much to bring everyone back again for a replayed match, but yep. I don't agree. You know, Manchester now have 4 points from 2 games. Played a game after a joke situation. Newcastle's only points came from a shootout loss, and, you know, if the scores hadn't been 2 each, what would they have done?
Well, the thing about Newcastle is this happened, I think it was last season or the season before, but this happened to them twice when they went all the way down to Cardiff, when Cardiff opened their rink, and the ice was unplayable, so they had to come all the way back. And then again when they went to Manchester, when Manchester opened their rink, and the ice was unplayable, and they come all the way back. And now they went to Manchester and they only saw two periods of a game. And apparently what they're getting back is any of the Newcastle fans that went to that game gets £2 off the game if they go to the game there on Boxing Day. I don't know.
Well, it's the credit crunch, lads. You know, they're just not turning the freezers down as much as they should.
That's it. And they're thinking, well, you know, you got to think about the environment.
I've certainly noticed over the last at least season and a half, and even on Saturday night, there are even problems with the Odyssey ice. The linesmen and referees seem to have to stop nearly every game for a few minutes just to fix holes in that in the Odyssey ice. So I don't know if it's something in the water.
Well, this weekend, speaking of the Vipers, they're the team to arrive in Belfast for their first game against us this season. Like you say, David, they've only had 1 point from a shootout loss, and they lost on on Saturday as well to the Nottingham Panthers. How do you feel that game will go?
I'm very much like Hull. I don't believe that the Vipers are a team that can do any damage this season going forward. I certainly think if Cameron Wilson's assembled a team there that he thinks can provide entertainment for the fans this season more than actually win anything, you know. I believe that they'll come out trying to be very, very physical with Belfast. And if we can stand up to them without getting going toe-to-toe with them, if you know what I mean, if we can stand up with them and we can keep out of the penalty box, then I don't see any trouble in taking the points.
Fish, should you see any danger men at all?
Well, Derek Campbell's had a pretty nice start to the season, with a goal and a point, or a goal and an assist. I thought I was talking about the All-Ireland final there. Warren Tate, the substitute's come up there with a goal, but you know, no one that really stands out, to be honest. You know what you're going to get with Newcastle. They're going to be physical. They're going to be fairly compact at the back, but with, you know, the Shields was a huge loss to them, you know, for the season, and I don't think they really replaced him with anybody of the same caliber. But again, it's so early in the season, it's difficult to see where, you know, their goals could come from anywhere. And, you know, another team we'll really need to look at again in a couple of weeks' time and see how things are working out.
Yeah.
But
I was having a little look at the Newcastle team, and the one guy that I think will get goals for them this season is a young guy called Todd Griffith. He's came in from the CHL there. He played along with Matt Reed there at the South Carolina Stingrays. And in the ECHL, he's good for a point a game, and he's probably totaling over 100 penalties in minutes a season. So he's a young guy, he's hungry, he can look after himself, he can score goals, he can get helpers for his teammates, and I would say that he's going to be the one to watch for Newcastle this season.
I have to agree. I think chatting to a few of the Vipers fans over the weekend, they were saying that Griffith really stood out. And like you say, he can handle himself going up against, I think it was Bergen, in the game against Nottingham. But it'll be interesting to see. I think the standout player, I talked about Aubrey last week for the Devils, and I think Werner for the Vipers is a big player for them. There's Paul Thompson described Werner before signing as probably one of the most significant signings in elite league history. Of course, you know, is he going to recognize Theo Fleury? No, he's not. But but Werner was the man who kept, well, you see, I say kept the Vipers in the game, but he seemed to be the only guy to turn up on Saturday night against the Nottingham Panthers, and it's just a pity that I don't think the defence in front of him are equal to what he is between the pipes. if he had a better defensive for them, say if Thompson had picked him up instead of Paris, maybe he would have done well in Coventry. But going forward, I agree with you, David. I don't think there's very much that will frighten the defence of Belfast.
I certainly think this coming Saturday night that Werner is going to face an awful lot of rubber. The Giants, if they can get that power play clicking on Saturday night, as I say, we had 7, 8, 9 power play opportunities. We passed around well. We got a lot of shots off. Aubrey done very well in net. If we can start getting someone big in front of the net, screening that goalie, we are going to do some damage.
I agree.
Yeah, and I think with the speed the team has this year, we can expect to see an awful lot of power play opportunities because our wingers going up the sides are just going to be too fast for an awful lot of defensemen. And even looking ahead to the game against Hull, I can foresee us spending long, long periods on the one-man or two-man advantage.
Well, credit where credit's due. I'm no fan of his, but Mike Hicks on Saturday night, I thought, had an excellent game.
Yep, absolutely.
He's consistent, if anything. He called everything from the start and right through the game, so we can't say that he, at least what we always ask for in a referee and is consistency, and Mike Hicks brought that to the game on Saturday night.
Do you think Hicks is finally coming around to be the real deal?
No.
Well, he did wave off a goal as well.
Well, you were down at Christine Blakely curve there, so you'd have had a better view at it. I wasn't able to see. I was trying to watch it on the replay on the big screen, but it was very hard to pick up whether it actually did cross the line. Well, I'd be more interested as to who shoved the net off very quickly afterwards.
Well, that's what I had assumed. Now that the goal had been waved off, or was it the net was shoved off? And there was a lot of defensemen standing in around the crease rather than Giants players. So
On the webcast, I can say that the net was off before it crossed the line, and therefore he was right to wave the goal off. He did point at it, but he waved it off. He did point for the goal, but he waved it off pretty quick after that. He was spot on with the call. And like you say, Hicks, I agree, I don't think he's the real deal, but the problem we have now is I believe that a lot of referees have been told this season, or a lot of linesmen who want to be referees have been told this season, with the four-man system, as it was initially called, that they were going to get a lot of time to develop as referees. Now the four-man system's been scrapped, that these guys who wanted to develop still want their time as refereeing. And I know for a fact that on this Saturday, the game against the Vipers, we're getting Tom Darnell as refereeing in Belfast, and I think that's a first.
I also see Staniforth's back refereeing again in the league.
Yes, he did. I know it's Staniforth had pulled out of refereeing for various reasons, but again, I think coached back by this four-man system, he was brought back in, and then when it was scrapped, a lot of them still want their time as referees. But it'll be interesting because if you look at a lot of them, I think Kloutman's definitely decided not to this season, and that he's gone. Boniface isn't a spring chicken. Andy Carson, as well developed as he is as well on as he is as a referee, again not going to last forever, and we're running short.
Where's the new guys coming from?
Exactly.
We're going to have to. I heard Jack was thinking of picking it up, but you know. Remains to be seen. So, do you reckon you could edit that together so the laugh was a little bit closer to the joke?
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's the problem we talked about last week, Patrick. That really, this isn't like football where there's such great structures in place. You know, where you've got referees turning out the referee hundreds of kids games across the UK every Saturday morning. We just don't have the personnel, and until there's a system in place where referees are going to get recompensed a little better, I don't think we're going to encourage too many to give up their weekends. Pretty much, it's every Saturday, every Sunday, some Fridays, sometimes during the week, especially if you've got to fly over to Belfast. It's a lot to give up for not really an awful lot of money. Mm-hmm. So, it's just something we're going to have to live with, and we know that. So, we'll just have to let the referees get on with it, just trying not to get too frustrated whenever things don't seem to be going our way. Remember that none of the referees are trying to do any team out of points or out of a win. They're just trying to do their best, and well, possibly Boniface, but let's just hope that Darnell has a good debut this weekend against the Vipers, and that he calls a ton of penalties on them.
That's not the guy from Big Brother you're talking about.
What?
idea who that is. So, sorry, Dave, you're letting yourself down there. So you
this is a pop culture here. I don't know what he's on about.
Yeah, no, the on one of the downsides, I know Jimmy Squeaker's going to be absolutely distraught by this, but when there was a four-man system, Joey Topman was involved with it, but now there's a three-man system, she's decided not to. And it's a significant loss for the league.
It's really horrible.
Yeah, a significant loss for the league. But anyway,
I just hope the league can put that right in next season.
And a quick chat, lads, about Hull. I think about going down to this one myself, away to Hull, because it's I think it's going to be more of a damage limitation, physically, rather than in score.
Well, it's difficult to know. I think we're going to have just much too, or far too much speed and far too much skill going forward. When you consider that in their defensive lines, they've got two fellas that we know very well, Pavel Gameniuk and Troy Neumeier, who are both not exactly spring chickens. I think our speed is going to dominate them when we go forward. But they do have players who can put the points up. You know, Jeff Glow and Jake Riddle. Jake Riddle is a particularly interesting player. He puts up sort of a decent amount of points and a lot of penalty minutes. And Jeff Gloa, a decent player going forward. So, you know, we can't afford to be napping, you know, like the time, I remember Patrick, yourself and myself were there when Hull absolutely destroyed us on their home ice a couple of seasons ago, you know. We can't afford to be falling asleep going over there and just to hope that we really bring it to them.
Davey, much danger?
No. I really think that Hull are very much aligned with the Newcastles this season. They've built a big squad from a point of view that they think they can out-muscle teams, out-fight teams to the points, but it's not how many penalty minutes you get, it's how many points you get at the end of the season. And at the end of the day, I think the Giants will be too quick, too strong, and too powerful for Hull to win.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah. Any predictions?
I'd like to think we'd have four points from those two games. You know, two wins. Don't think there can be any excuses for not beating Hull. And you know, I'd be very confident of beating the Vipers in the Odyssey, just with the form both teams have shown so far. And you know, I don't see any reason why we can't expect maximum points from the weekend.
Yeah, I think that we'll have to be respectful of both teams, and you know, we'll have to go out there and earn the wins, but I do think that we'll be too strong for them. I would say if Curtis Cruikshanks has an off night, then the Giants should win comfortably.
And I know you were I'll throw this stat at you guys. I know you were throwing a stat about earlier, Davey, but this is those two wins at the weekend was only the second time that the Giants have won their opening two games, and they've never won their opening three.
Well, there we go, but, you know, it's a new Giants era.
dear. Anything else, lads?
I suppose just the breaking news there that we were talking about just before we came on, that the Devils have announced that they were the benefactors for the Bison. We talked a lot last week, Patrick, about the Bison's financial stripes, and the Cardiff Devils have now sort of come out and said, oh, well, we give them all the money, worship us. They said they give them a five-figure sum. So fair play to the Devils. You know, it's the Devils are a team that haven't always themselves been in great financial standings. And
aye,
you know, it's really great that they did that to ensure that the Bison could compete this season. So well done to the Devils and all their fans, who I'm sure will have to pay for it through the rest of the season. But good for them.
Yeah. What was your take on the Bison situation, Davey?
Very disappointing that it's happened again this season. You know, teams have to have a financial structure in place. Although I'm sure Zoom pulling out has left a huge hole in the budget. I was listening to the show last week, and the guy you had on from the Bison, I just can't remember his name, spoke very well about the Bison, Anthony. Yeah, and hopefully for the league and for the Bison and for their fans and for their players, they can keep going. But something needs put in place that this isn't going to be a recurring situation, and it's not really good enough that another team has to pay another team to keep them in business.
I agree, especially a team like Cardiff, who in recent times have had their own troubles.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll be able to sort out and we'll be a bit more stable. But anyway, well, thanks for coming on, Davey.
No problem. Just before I go, Paddy, I want to throw a I just want to throw a question out to all five of your listeners there. Andrew Martin.
Well, it's only four now that you were on the that you're on the podcast. So,
Andrew Martin scored a hat trick on debut at the Odyssey. Now he's not the first Giants player to do that.
No.
I'm going to put a prize up. If anybody can name the other three Giants players that have scored a hat trick on debut at the Odyssey. I'll get a signed picture of Jimmy Squeaker or something and get it to you, but you can answer that one on the forum.
Yes, throw one up on the forum and in the thread and Davey will look after you. That's a tough one actually. I can think of one straight off, but there's another two on debut, yeah. I'll think about that one. Well, thanks very much, Davey. You're very welcome anytime. I'll be on again the end of the season. And we'll see if Mo's getting any more ice time by then.
Yeah, well, hopefully he will. Just one other stuff for you. When Mark Morrison scored his first ever goal for the Giants,
yeah,
he was playing on a line with Jason Ruff and Kurt Bowen.
And I think you saw that, didn't you?
I saw Mo score. Yeah. The guy has got quality, and he'll be back.
Mo will be back. Very good, Davey.
If you want to get in touch with the podcast, drop us an email at podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com or go to www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast.
I thought that was my line, Paddy.
Well, I just did it anyway. we'll be back again with you next week for another podcast and maybe another special guest. Thanks for coming on, Davey, again. Thanks, Fish.
Not a problem. Just before we go, I would like to give a shout-out to someone who I'm sure is listening, to our good friend Sarah McFarlane, who is glad to hear was at the game on Saturday there, although I didn't see her myself. She's not been in the best of health over the summer, and just want to wish her a speedy recovery and hope that everything goes well. So good luck to you, Sarah. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, Sarah, take care of yourself, babe.
Absolutely. Sarah, good friend of all of us. And on that note, we'll catch you later, and we'll see you next time. One of you from the bridge.
Bye.
I'm standing here with Giants third-string goaltender Adam Free. Adam, what have you got to say for the podcast?
I'm scared of clowns.
Scared of clowns. There you have it. Strong words, ladies and gentlemen. Afraid of clowns.